Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into Flawless Consulting by Peter Block, a comprehensive guide crafted to master the consulting process. This second edition, published in 2000, serves as an invaluable tool for those at the early stages of their consulting career, as well as seasoned business leaders who engage with consultants. Peter Block, a renowned American consultant with a decorated career, brings his extensive experience into this book. Having received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Organization Development Network in 2008, Block distills his insights into a practical, step-by-step guide that covers the entire spectrum of professional consulting. The book highlights the subtleties of managing consultant-client relationships effectively, ensuring mutual respect and success. Flawless Consulting is ideal for junior-level consultants looking to solidify their practice, business owners considering the engagement of consultants, and project managers eager to enhance their understanding of consulting dynamics. Join us as we explore the intricacies of effective consulting through Peter Block's expert lens, making every consultation a flawless one. Flawless Consulting, a guide to getting your expertise used. Introduction. Explore the real value of consulting. Master the art of strategy and support. Every day, businesses across the United States find themselves facing challenges that seem insurmountable. Who do they turn to? The hidden superheroes of the business world, consultants. These are the strategists and troubleshooters whose expertise can make or break a company's fortune. Despite their critical role, the true nature of a consultant's work remains a mystery to many. Is a consultant just a temporary fixer who swoops in to save the day? Or is there more to this profession? Let's set the record straight. A consultant is much more than just a problem solver. They are advisors and educators. They do not simply take control, but support and guide a company to find its own solutions. Today's exploration into the world of consulting will uncover the importance of consultants embodying the advice they give, the reason behind consultants' frequent conversations and discussions, how effective use of meetings can be the most powerful tool in a consultant's arsenal. Part 1. Embrace emotions and interpersonal nuances for more effective consulting. Many hold the belief that rationality reigns supreme when it comes to decision-making. This perspective leads many managers to suppress their emotional instincts in favor of cold, hard logic. However, in the intricate dance of consultation, purely rational thinking is not always the most effective path. Consulting operates on two distinct yet interconnected levels: the analytical, business-focused realm, and the more nuanced interpersonal sphere. It is crucial to remember that behind the statistics and strategy are real people, each with their own emotional baggage and interpersonal dynamics. Truly successful consultants grasp that to fully understand the challenges a company faces, one must dive into the emotional and interpersonal undercurrents that influence every decision and interaction. Imagine a hospital where various specialists interact with the same patient. An internist might take blood samples while a nurse handles medication routines. Here, implementing a new database software to streamline their work could theoretically enhance efficiency, but only if the human elements align. Each specialist must not only be able to use the software, but also be willing to adapt their personal workflows to integrate this new tool. Overlooking this personal adjustment phase renders any technological enhancements ineffective. Moreover, consultants should not dismiss their own emotional reactions. These instincts can often highlight underlying issues and guide you toward practical solutions. For example, if you sense a general resentment towards management among staff, it is likely that the employees share this sentiment. Recognizing these feelings can pave the way for improved communication strategies, fostering a healthier work environment. In conclusion, the power of consulting doesn't lie solely in expertise and data analysis, but equally in understanding and integrating the human emotional spectrum. Fostering a deeper connection to these emotional cues can transform one's approach to consulting, leading to more nuanced and effective interventions. Part 2. True consultants lead by example. Embody the change you recommend. Picture this. A consultant walks into your office, looking every bit the part in a sharp suit, clipboard in hand, exuding a sense of importance. But despite this confident exterior, a consultant's real power is limited. In essence, consultants can do two things. They can provide advice, and they can encourage others to adopt new practices. If you're in this role, your effectiveness hinges significantly on your authenticity. People are quick to detect a hypocrite, and nothing discredits advice faster than a consultant who doesn't adhere to their own recommendations. Imagine you're a line manager in a company steeped in traditional hierarchies. A consultant comes in and suggests that flattening the hierarchy could boost productivity, as employees tend to perform better when they feel their voices are heard. But you're skeptical. You reason that the pressures of your industry demand a strict adherence to the chain of command. Now, consider your reaction if this consultant, advocating for less hierarchy, suddenly pulls rank by saying, "Just do as I say. Your CEO is paying me well to implement these changes." This approach would likely leave you feeling more opposed than ever to the consultant's ideas. This hypothetical scenario underscores a fundamental truth. Improper behavior doesn't just breach social norms, it's also ineffective. Since learning often occurs through imitation, embracing and exemplifying the values you promote is vital. If you advocate for open dialogue, be open yourself. This not only reinforces your teachings, but also sets a powerful example. Suppose instead the consultant acknowledged your concerns, showing that he had considered them while developing his recommendations. This approach could make you more open to the proposed changes, and even impart important communication strategies for engaging with your team. This is the essence of effective consulting, leading not just with words, but through action. Part 3. Consultants advise, managers implement, understanding roles for effective outcomes. Imagine you're a manager at a company grappling with a seemingly unsolvable problem. It's tempting to think, "I'll hire a consultant and take a break while they fix everything." While this sounds like a blissful resolution, reality paints a different picture. Both consultants and managers play essential yet distinct roles in problem solving. A consultant might devise a brilliant strategy, but ultimately, it's the manager's job to bring this strategy to life. It's crucial to remember that a consultant isn't a substitute for a manager. If a consultant steps in to temporarily fix an issue, no one else learns how to handle similar challenges in the future. Should the same problem resurface, the organization would once again be dependent on external help, having missed the opportunity to build its own capabilities the first time around. Managers are integral to the consulting process because they act as the bridge between the consultant's advice and the team's action. Consultants, meanwhile, should maintain their independence, providing an objective perspective that allows for a thorough analysis without the constraints of internal politics or biases. Take, for example, Company A, which faced a high turnover rate among trainees. The initial assumption was that the cost of living near the company was too high, and consideration was given to increasing salaries or even building a housing complex for employees. However, an adept consultant brought in to assess the situation noticed something else entirely. It wasn't the housing costs, but a rigid, hierarchical company culture that was pushing trainees away. They felt undervalued and disconnected, resulting in their resignation once training concluded. With this new insight, the consultant wasn't just solving the superficial issue, but addressing the root cause. By re-evaluating the corporate atmosphere and improving how trainees were treated, the company could foster a more welcoming environment, improving retention without the substantial financial outlay initially considered. This example highlights how consultants can illuminate underlying issues that might not be apparent to internal stakeholders. empowering businesses to implement more effective and sustainable solutions. Part 4. Effective Consulting, a structured approach from initiation to implementation. Every consulting project unfolds in a carefully structured sequence of stages. These stages span from initial discussions to define project scope, to gathering feedback on implemented solutions, ensuring effectiveness and satisfaction. The journey begins with the contracting phase, a critical initial step where consultants and clients outline the scope and expectations. It's at this stage where many managerial fears, such as fears of overreach by the consultant, can be addressed. Clear communication here sets the tone for the entire project, defining boundaries and easing concerns about the consultant's role within the organization. Following the establishment of this foundation, the project moves into the discovery and data collection stage. Here, the consultant dives deep into the company's operations, regardless of the initial surface-level understanding of the problem. This phase could involve analyzing financial documents, assessing communication flows between staff and management, evaluating technological utilization, or a combination of these and more. The objective is to gather a comprehensive set of data that informs the next steps. Once the necessary information is collected, the project advances to the final stage: solution, implementation, and feedback. This phase is not only about proposing solutions, but also involves engaging with the company's workforce to communicate the benefits of the changes. Convincing employees of the merits of the proposed solutions is crucial for its success. Historically, for instance, when computers were first being introduced in workplaces, they were often seen merely as advanced typewriters. A consultant's role then might have included demystifying this new technology, explaining its capabilities and potential impacts beyond basic word processing. From this historical perspective, it becomes evident that successful consulting involves more than just solving problems. It's about fostering understanding, alleviating doubts, and guiding the entire company toward a committed, collective step forward into new solutions. Part 5. Understanding and Managing Resistance in Consulting. Effective Strategies for Facilitation. Change is a constant in the business world, yet it frequently meets resistance. As a consultant, introducing new concepts and strategies often means stepping on toes and challenging the status quo. This resistance, while a natural human reaction to change, needs to be addressed thoughtfully. Imagine you've been performing your role at a company for over a decade. You're accustomed to certain procedures and confident in your methods. Suddenly, a consultant, perhaps someone much younger, with less industry-specific experience, reviews your work for a week and concludes that your approach is flawed. It's understandable that this could ruffle feathers. Resistance can take various forms, from vocal opposition to subtler, nonverbal signs like avoiding eye contact or excessive questioning. It's crucial for a consultant to recognize these signs early on. When a client repeatedly questions the same point, it often signals deeper uncertainties or disagreement. To address this, if a question comes up multiple times, don't just answer repetitively. Consider it a cue to probe deeper. Start a dialogue by asking clarifying questions such as, "It seems like there might be some concerns about my findings. Could we discuss what aspects are causing doubt?" This approach encourages direct conversation about the resistance encountered, helping to uncover underlying issues. It also positions you, the consultant, to better explain your processes and the rationale behind your conclusions. By engaging directly and openly with the resistance, you can facilitate a more productive dialogue that not only clarifies your recommendations, but also reassures and re-engages your client. In essence, dealing with resistance isn't just a hurdle to overcome. It's an integral part of the consulting process that, when managed effectively, can deepen understanding and foster stronger commitment to the change process. Part 6. Creating Dialogue. The key to breaking down barriers in consulting. In the intricate world of consulting, possessing great ideas isn't enough. You must also be adept at conveying these ideas convincingly. A consultant might devise the most ingenious solution, but if they fail to persuade others to adopt it, the entire effort falls flat. Emotions often trump logic. Many of us can recall times when our feelings led us to react in ways that defied rational thought, like jumping during a scary scene in a movie. In consulting, recognizing and navigating through these emotional responses is crucial. It's essential for consultants not to dismiss or merely rationalize these emotional reactions, but to address them head on. Whether it's a one-on-one dialogue or a casual conversation by the water cooler, creating opportunities for individuals to express their fears and concerns is vital. This openness not only builds trust, but also reinforces the consultant's commitment to genuinely improving the client's situation. Moreover, incorporating this approach into larger group settings can be particularly effective. Rather than holding meetings where one person lectures, encourage a forum where everyone can speak up and engage dynamically. This interactive setup not only makes individuals feel valued and heard, but it also provides the consultant with crucial insights into the collective and individual apprehensions that may exist. For example, imagine you're a consultant tasked with implementing a new software system that staff members feel is too complex. The best way to unearth these concerns is by organizing a meeting where these issues can be openly discussed. Once these fears are voiced, you have the perfect opportunity to address them, perhaps explaining how the new system will benefit everyone and detailing the support and training that will be offered. Effective communication is the cornerstone of impactful consulting. By fostering an environment where dialogue is encouraged and valued, you pave the way for not only better understanding, but also deeper cooperation and more successful outcomes. Part 7, the ultimate goal of consulting. Empowering independence within organizations. Effective consulting can be likened to skillful parenting. Initially, there are challenges, and frequent guidance is necessary. However, the end goal is to foster independence, allowing the child, in this case the company, to handle challenges on its own. Unlike a parent, a consultant's time with each company is brief, making it crucial to maximize influence quickly. A key aspect of this process involves rallying both the team and staff around a shared vision. Without wide support, even the most brilliantly conceived plans risk falling by the wayside once the consultant departs. Imagine a scenario where a senior manager brings in a consulting firm. Together, they develop a series of complex strategies that they believe will revolutionize the company. However, they fail to include the staff in these discussions or the decision-making process. The result? Once the consultant leaves, the staff, unclear on the new processes, revert to their old ways, and stagnation ensues. For a consultant, success means ensuring that the company not only understands the proposed changes, but is fully equipped to implement and sustain them without further external help. This involves coaching and convincing the staff to embrace and champion the new methodologies. Such empowerment guarantees that the project's benefits continue long after the consultant has left, essentially rendering the consultant's role obsolete. Achieving this level of self-sufficiency within a company is the hallmark of successful consulting. It shifts the paradigm from dependency on external experts to an internal competence that thrives independently. The irony of great consulting is that the better you perform your job, the less your clients will need you in the future. Though teaching your clients to solve problems without you might sound counterintuitive, remember, in the ever-evolving business landscape, new challenges and opportunities are never far away. Effective consulting doesn't just solve problems, it teaches companies how to solve their future challenges independently. Final summary. The core message of this book is that consulting transcends mere problem solving. It involves a comprehensive evaluation of business operations and fostering enduring transformations. At its most effective, consulting equips clients with the tools and knowledge needed to address future challenges independently, thereby deepening their understanding of both their business mechanisms and leadership roles. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.